Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath services. Everyone wants to know what is going to happen in the world and how are the things at the end time going to work out. Well, some of them are going to come as such a shock as we're going to cover today, and this is number three in the coming one world religion. And everybody wonders, well, how can that be and how is that going to come about? Well, as we covered in the first two of this series, there is a beast that looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. That is the false prophet. And let's understand something. There are only four references to it. Revelation 13, Revelation 17, and 16 and 19. Now, there are only two places that he is called the false prophet. That's Revelation 16 and Revelation 19. But when, as I've mentioned, when we look at things, how many times does God have to say something in order for it to be true? Once. Once is plenty enough. Now, let's see what's going to happen, and let's understand what I'm going to show you and speak to you about has been going on for a long, long time. Well over 100 years. And I have right here in my hands, it is called World Scripture, a comparative anthology of sacred text. This is the World Bible. When do you suppose it was first published? 1991. I gave sermons on this some time ago, years ago when it first came out, but I haven't given any since then. But the development and the movement of the one world religion is in high gear. It is very much alive and growing. And you will be surprised how far it has gone. So before we get there, let's come to Matthew 24. Now, as we've been to Matthew 24 many times, what have I said concerning it? Well, I've said this, that when God fulfills the scripture, it is fulfilled to the nth degree, maximum plus, not minimum minus. So Matthew 24, and let's pick it up here in verse 24, okay? Matthew 24 and verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall present great signs and wonders in order to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, that is quite a statement when you understand it, isn't it? Yes, it is. Now, notice what else Jesus said, verse 25, behold, I have foretold it to you. This also helps answer the question that Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find the faith on the earth? That is the true faith. Faith through his Holy Spirit, number one, and faith in the scriptures, number two. Now, let's give an example of how God is fulfilling a Matthew 24 scripture. All right? Let's come here to verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. Now think of all the vehicles that we have today for getting the word out. Think of all of those, whether in harmony with what God wants or in contention with what God wants, how many are mentioning the name of Christ. And remember what Jesus said. If they are not against us, they are on our part. But the dividing line is coming. And there's going to be choices made for all the churches of the world. And the churches of the world are being taken down very rapidly. Now, the first two that I did on the coming world religion, there was, on June the 26th, there was the Chrislam Day. That's where supposed Christians, Muslim, a Jewish rabbi, a Hindu priest, a Buddha priest, and I think a Sikh priest as well, they all got together in Christian churches and read from their texts. Thank you. Now, what I want you to do in this, I want you to take these scriptures and think big, just like the one I read. We have the printed Bible, we have the digital Bible, we have it available to download. Randy did it right during services to answer a question, okay? God is going to make it that no one is going to have any excuse anywhere concerning the Word of God. Now, what is up to the churches of God is to get out there and really preach it, and my prayer is that everyone would get right with God so he can use them to preach the gospel. We're not in competition or hostile to any of them. We want all of them to do well, but we also want them to also treat the brethren the way that God instructs in his word and to preach the gospel the way that God wants it preached. But I want you to think big beyond that. Remember the book that we just published, Lord, What Should I Do?, showing the demise of Christianity of this world. Why is it coming down? All right, let's come back here to 2 Peter, the second chapter. Now, we've applied this to the churches of God, and well, we should apply it to the churches of God. However, let's apply it to all the Christian churches that name the name of Christ, because remember what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, he says, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from unrighteousness or iniquity. Now, it starts out in the church of God, and then it expands toward the end. And there are cycles repeating this. We've all lived through one cycle of this. But I don't think we grasp what is happening out in the world with the Christian churches of the world and with all the other religions of the world. Okay? Yeah, good comment that they may find Jesus too restrictive. They'll just have another Jesus. Okay? All right, let's come here to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. And because they have done this for years, they have been changing, they have been redefining, they have been eliminating, they have been making it easier, they have dumbed everyone down so that they do not know truth from error, right from wrong, good from evil, because there's so much compromise going on. And we'll see that. All right, chapter 2, verse 14. Now let's see what he says here. But thanks be to God who always leads us triumphant in Christ and manifests the fragrance of his knowledge through us to every place. But not everyone likes the fragrance. Verse 15, for we are Christ's sweet perfume to God among those who are being saved. Now you need to mark that because salvation is not once fait accompli, done. You are being saved. I won't get into that right here, but I'll cover it later. And those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a stench of death unto death. That's why people don't like the truth. But the truth is what they have to hear. If they don't hear the truth, they don't have a warning. And if we don't stand for the truth, and if we don't preach the truth, and if the churches of God and the ministers of God do not preach the truth and teach the brethren to believe the truth and live by the truth and to love God and serve God, keep his commandments the way that God wants, then what are we doing? All right? For we are not like many who for their own profit are corrupting the word of God, but we speak with sincerity as from God and before God and in Christ. Now, this is why at the end time we have the whole Bible. And this is why. Because they want to deceive even the elect, which is the true church of God, and the true church of God is composed of those who have the Spirit of God. And some of those who have the Spirit of God have let it wane down so much that they need to be careful that they do not end up being like the five foolish virgins. Okay? Let's go on. Let's come to chapter 4. I think it's very interesting as we're turning to chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4. And let's begin in verse 1. Probably turned the page, didn't need to do it. Okay, there we go. Verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry, according to as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted. And now's the time for us to not be faint-hearted, brethren. I tell you, that's very important. Here's how Paul did it. And this is recorded for us so we know what to do. And we know how to be on guard. And we know what to recognize is those things that are not right, though they're very sweet sounding. Remember, Satan the devil promised Adam and Eve what? You will be gods. God told them, when you're ready. Satan said, now. That sound good? All right, notice what he says here. We have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain, not walking in cunning craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, how do you handle the word of God deceitfully? By making it say something it really doesn't say. By reading one verse and not another. Okay? But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden from those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. All right, now can you think of two verses, one in Matthew and one in Luke, that are numbered 4:4? And what does that say? Yes, okay. Says you shall live by every word of God. So the true Christ says, live by every word of God. The false Christ will come along and say, well, as long as you have a religion and as long as you're spiritual, you're okay. All right? Let's go on. Let's come here to 2 Corinthians 11. Now, let's also expand this out to all the Christian churches in the world that are Sunday keepers, because there are some Sunday keeping churches that are not happy with what's going on. But they're also going to have to pay attention to the Word of God, and God is going to have to call them to repentance too, because if they don't change their ways, they're going to get swallowed up in this. See, because what God is doing right now is creating the dividing line. And we will see that the dividing line is getting more defined and sharper. Now, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 11. I would that you might bear with me in a little nonsense, but indeed do bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with the jealousy of God, because I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, not corrupted by the religions of this world, not corrupted by their philosophies, you see. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve, by his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And as we found this morning, the simplicity in Christ is what? Obey my voice. And speaking of words, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Matthew 7. The one who hears my words and practices them, I will liken him to a man who built his house upon the rock. The one who hears my words and does not practice them will be likened to a man who builds his house on the ground with no foundation. They both build beautiful edifices, but the one who thinks he's got it made, when the rains come and the wind blows, it falls immediately. Those who are built on the rock, who are Christ, will be able to endure. But notice what they were doing there. See? Verse 4. For indeed, if someone comes preaching another Jesus whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit which you did not receive, or a different gospel which you did not accept, you put up with it as something good. And that's exactly what they are doing. With all the churches that have participated in the June 26th reading of the different texts from different religions on Chrislam Sunday. Now, we come down here. Let's come down here and see. Turn the page. Okay. Verse 13. For such are false apostles. Now, remember false Christ, false prophets? Now, prophet is anyone who claims to speak for God, whether it is the true God or a false God, whether it is for the Lord God and Jesus Christ, or whether it is for Baal. Okay? Deceitful workers who are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And now let's also understand something here too. Revelation 12:9 tells us what? Satan is deceiving the whole world. And that's going to come down. The dividing line will be for the few that are in the true churches of God and the rest of the world. See, because what's going to happen to them? Come to 2 Thessalonians. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but notice the warning and the result of what's going to happen if they don't heed the warning. Okay, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 1. Now I beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you be not quickly shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us saying that the day of Christ is present. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means, because that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. That is not, as some churches of God have said, that they change the doctrines within the church of God. This is the apostasy and the rebellion against God by all the religions of the world, the height of the apostasy against God. All right? And why will they believe it? Why will they believe it? He's going to come with all signs and lying wonders. We saw that, Revelation 13, calling fire down from heaven, raising the beast back to life, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. And I just read to you what happens when you don't receive the love of the truth. Right here. All right. We'll see some other things that are going to happen. Now let me read you a little bit of what they have done here. I won't read you much, but I'll read you some from the introduction to it. And of course, what do they have putting this together? The leading religionist of the world. Doctors. Okay. From all the different religions. Let me just read you some of the chapters of the Table of Context. Part one, ultimate reality and the purpose of human existence. Sound good? Doesn't everyone want to know why they're here? Yes, indeed. Ultimate reality. Chapter 2, divine law, truth, cosmic purpose. See, so they work in truth. Truth to them is a set of lies. Truth to us is the word of God. The purpose of life for the individual, the purpose of life for the family and society, the purpose of life in the natural world, life beyond death and the spiritual world. See how people are going to be sucked into this? Only 3 in 10 believe that the Bible is the word of God. Now someone comes along and says, look at this. What's wrong with this? Isn't this nice? Let's get along with one another. Let's quit fighting and warring. Okay? Part 2, evil, sin, and the human fall. Part 3, salvation and the Savior. Part 4, religious life. And religious life includes responsibilities, predestination, self-cultivation, spiritual growth, faith, wisdom, worship, offering and sacrifice, self-denial and renunciation, live for others. Part 5, providence, society, and the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that a clever counterfeit? Now notice, here's the foreword. Let me read you a little bit of the foreword. And this sounds so good. See, because we're living in a world that is a one-world thing, right? And isn't that what the book of Revelation talks about? All nations, the whole world, all peoples and languages and kindreds and tongues, right? Yes. Here's the foreword. And see how nice this sounds, especially for those who have rejected the true Christ. Especially for those who have been deceived by the false teachings in Christianity and have given up on them and are willing to accept New Ageism. Okay? It's obvious that as we move toward a world civilization in which so many cultures and spiritual traditions will impinge on one another, all of us should understand one another. It does not necessarily mean we agree. How could it be given the diversity of human values evident in the world? But we can be growing convergence and complementarity among faiths, large and small, of our shrinking planet. It is therefore good to have sources of comparison among religious traditions, and one obvious place to look is in the scripture and sacred writings of the various cultures. So that's what they have done. They have pulled it together. Okay? Now here's another one. All the great religions of the world revere sacred scriptures. Then it lists all of the different scriptures that they have. And so what do you have in here? You have all the different religions, laws, codes, readings that agree with one another. Now, let me read you a little bit about the organization behind this, which is the International Religious Foundation. You ever heard of that? And that's a huge organization. Here it is. It is also called the United Communities of Spirit, a global interfaith initiative. InterSpirit is a collaborative interfaith networking system in interconnecting with many groups and organizations working for cultural understanding and a better world. As of Wednesday, July 13th, the InterSpirit Network includes 57,242 members, 336 groups, 443 subgroups, 3,690 organizations. And we anticipate the emergence of new relationships and projects based on our inner spirit connection. That is the spirit of Satan the devil. Now, Let's tie that in with Ephesians, the second chapter, because Satan is out there as the prince of the power of the air. That spirit, as it says here in Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Okay? Now you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you walked in time past according to the course of this world. And that's what this is, the religions of the world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience, among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of our flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Now notice, they have hundreds of websites. They have thousands of cooperation spheres. Now yesterday, I went into a Whole Foods, and outside there was a man collecting money for a cooperative organization right in Pasadena, and that's part of this worldwide one religion. Okay, so here they have. I'll just read them quickly. Gather the Women Global Resonance Network, Resonance Project, NAIN, North American Interfaith Network, National Association of Ecumenical and Interfaith Staff, Southern California Interfaith Network, Global Network, Council for a Parliament of World Religions. How many have heard of the Parliament of World Religions? When did that first come to the United States? 1893. They have been at this 100 years. And I'm going to read to you some of the from the Parliament of World Religions, which is another organization, you see. All right, continuing. Visions of Peace Among Religions, World Interfaith Congress, Interfaith Voices of Peace and Justice, Conscious Evolution Network, and that's right in Santa Barbara, The Wheel of Religion. Now then, it states all about what they're doing here. What it is, they're fostering world peace. Everyone get along and go along together. It is an amazing thing. So here is the Parliament of World Religions, which in 1993, they had their 100th anniversary. And they've been meeting every 5 years since then. And the last one that they met, the last country they met in, was in Australia. And they have thousands of participants, thousands of ministers from the so-called Christian churches. So here's their mission. The Council for a Parliament of World's Religion. The Council for a Parliament of World Religion was created to cultivate harmony among the world's religious and spiritual communities, foster their engagement with the world and its guiding institutions in order to achieve a just, peaceful, sustainable world. Not something. Now, I'm getting material on the vision of the Lady of Fatima, because that's the key to bring the Muslims and Christians together. And that, you see, will be a great, great accomplishment. Remember how Satan works. Theses, antithesis, synthesis. Theses is the current status. Antitheses are challenges to it. Synthesis is to blend them together. And every time you get a synthesis, you come back and that becomes the new theses. And you get an antithesis, and then you get a new synthesis, and the process goes over and over and over and over until everyone is deceived. Our vision, the vision of the Council for a Parliament of World's Religion, is a just, peaceful, and sustainable world in which religious and spiritual communities live in harmony and contribute to a better world from their riches of wisdom and compassion. Religious and cultural fears and hatred are replaced with understanding and respect. People everywhere come to know and care for their neighbors. the richness of human and religious diversity is woven into the fabric of communal, civil, societal, and global life. Now tie that all in with what we've covered, a coming world banking system, out of which will come a world government. And in order to get everyone to live together peacefully, you've got to have the religions of the world melded into one. And that is the great apostasy of 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. All right, continuing. The world's most powerful and influential institutions move beyond narrow self-interest to realize the common good. The earth and all life are cherished, protected, healed, restored. All people commit to living out their highest values and aspirations, and they are committed to promote interreligious harmony rather than unity. The daughters come home and they get along with mother on an adult basis. Now, there are other things that they have here. Let's see what else I have. Okay. I'll save that for another time. Here it talks about the Parliament of World Religions down in Australia. And it was held in a huge convention center in Melbourne, Australia. And the convention center was alive with Chinese Buddhist drumming and auspicious lion dog deity from Bali called the World Peace Barong. Dancers, chanters, groups of people in conversation, announcements of all kind hung up and piled on tables, snack bars, several information stations, including Council Hub. At the hub, trustees of the Council of the Parliament of World Religion were on duty to meet a steady stream of visitors and inquirers, sign up people for Peace Next, the Council's new social networking site. Talk about the Council of World Religions. Enjoy being together informally. Almost 6,000 people from over 200 religious traditions and sub-traditions gathered from all over the world for what some call the best parliament ever. Let me read another one. Oh, here they have all the prayers for peace from all the different religions. Here's another one. Actions for interfaith solidarity. Ideas to counter hostility toward Muslims in North America and beyond, put out by CARI, C-A-R-I, the Council of Islamic American Relations. And it shows everything that they are doing there. Okay? Let me read another. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, a chief of police was ordered to attend a mosque meeting. He refused and was demoted. Now, URI, United Religions Initiative. Let me tell you about this. These things are all interconnected. They are working. They are working with all churches, trying to get as many as possible to sign up and cooperate. But because they don't know their Bibles, because they do not understand the truth, they are all going to be merged into this one great religion, which will be diversity, unity through diversity. Haven't you heard of that? Yes, indeed. URI, United Religion Initiative, is an this is separate from the Parliament of World Religions, by the way. Okay? Is an internationally recognized interfaith network active in 78 countries with its global office in San Francisco, California. We cultivate and connect grassroots change makers across religious, cultural, and geographical boundaries, harnessing their collective, notice collective, power to take on religiously motivated violence and social and economic environmental crises that destabilize regions and contribute to poverty. So here's their goal. It says, as the new teachings are combined with new adaptations of older teachings, a new synthesis can take place. See, what did I just say? Theses, antitheses, synthesis. We do need a global ethic that increasingly gets the approval of the world's peoples so that there can be, once again, reliable guidance for what is ethical and what is not. See, Israel was to do that in bringing the laws of God to the world. See, the 12 tribes of Israel were to do that. They failed. So it says, a new understanding of spirituality is also needed. How do you worship Satan? Okay? Now, Randy Ville just got done doing the segment I did on Church at Home concerning Satan the Devil number 8. So if you're online, go online and look that up. It's on there, isn't it, Randy? Okay? You will see this generation has been prepared for it by the terrible education they've been given, by the atheistic teachings they have been given, by the satanic teachings that they have been given, and all of the occult spirituality that comes through all of their movies, all of their games, all of their activities, everything that they talk about and think about, plus the degeneration in their sexual values. This generation has been set up to really take the fall. All right. Reliable in our understanding of what is called God, Spirit, oneness, or by any other name or no name. You ever heard of the unknown God? These things take time in an emerging democracy so that we cannot expect that everyone will have the same understanding or the same use in terminology. When we finally can accept the fact that not everyone needs to believe in the same way or follow the same path, then we will have discovered the meaning of faith and democracy and able to communicate to others. Remember the book that came out years ago? I'm okay, you're okay. What is the high priestess Oprah preached? New Age religion. If it feels good to you, do it. If you think it's right, it's right. And she rejected God when she read the Ten Commandments and it said that he was a jealous God. Okay, here's part of their charter. I think that this will become very interesting. The idea for URI came to California Episcopal Bishop William Swing in 1993 after an invitation by the United Nations to host a large interfaith service in San Francisco. I think we have that on a VHS. I don't know if we've have it converted to a DVD yet. But they had that in 1993. I recorded it. Marking the 50th anniversary of the signing of the UN Charter, he asked himself, if the nations of the world are working together for peace through the UN, then where are the world's religions? Since then, it has grown to a very large network and organization. All right. Now, see what else we have? I think that's about all. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we will be back.